Hey there, filmmakers. This is Herschel Zahn coming back at you after a very, very long hiatus. The last time we spoke to you was right after the Fright Night Film Festival, and it is now right on August's death door. It's almost September, and we are back with what I hope will be many, many, many more episodes. But first, before we get too far into the show, let's do a little station identification. This is the Film Aspire podcast. My name is Herschel Zond. I'm your host, and you're listening to us at filmaspire.podomatic.com. You can also check us out on iTunes, keyword Film Aspire, and all of our episodes are archived at renegadeartproductions.com, which is currently under site maintenance, and forthcoming will be archived permanently at filmaspire.com, where we are hard at work on that website. So, I have been quite busy. I haven't been idle in my time away from you here on the podcasting airwaves. I've been hard at work on finishing Renegade Art Productions' second feature film, A Wish for the Dead, directed by Nathan Thomas Milner and shot by yours truly. It's been a very, very complex shoot, so I've kind of had to relegate some of my time to finishing that project because it's been an ongoing endeavor, and we're very, very happy with the footage that we're getting and the turnout that we're getting. So, and that's a podcast that's going to be coming up here very shortly as a whole podcast on time. But today, we're going to talk about something very, very, very important. Apparently, it's the podcast of me repeating things three times. No, we talked last time about the Filmmaker's Toolbox, and that's something that's going to become a regular thing here on the Film Aspire podcast. We're going to talk about things that you need to think about, do, prepare for as independent micro-budget filmmakers that will help you succeed. The last thing that we talked about was perseverance. You have to have a bottomless supply of perseverance to be an independent and micro-budget filmmaker. And another thing that you've got to have a bottomless supply of to be successful as a filmmaker, unfortunately, not that you have to have it, but it certainly helps, is money. And I am actually making Wish for the Dead for the first time on money that I did not earn myself. I went out and I got investors, and I had people invest in the film, which that's not even a podcast. That's a lecture series that we need to do at some point. But I've actually been able to make Wish for the Dead on other people's money, which is how you're supposed to do it. You're not supposed to just throw every penny of your money into making a film. You should be making your films with other people's money, and when you get the return on it, when you sell the DVDs, when you sell the rights into distribution, you pay back those debts, give them a little percent, and you keep what's left over. That's how it should work, but you know, unfortunately, that's not how we work. So how can we get money? How can we get other money that's not coming from our day job? Well, there's a very important thing that happens all the time that will allow you to get money. And other people's money, not money that you have to take out of your personal checking account just because that was what you were supposed to pay your electric bill with. Oh, I'm not going to be in the house that much this month. I don't need the electricity. We'll go shooting, and I'll pay back that bill later when I get paid again. No, that's not how it's supposed to work. We got to think business-minded, okay? If you can't find investors, what you have to find is a way to supplement your income so that you can continue making films. There's lots of ways to do that. You can do music videos for local bands. You can do PSAs. You can do commercials. This is election season. Politicians need commercials done, especially first-time politicians that maybe it's their first campaign. They would love independent guys that can do them a really, really affordable. Don't say cheap. Don't use that word. Let's start working on your lexicon of vocabulary as a filmmaker. You're never cheap. You're affordable. It's all about how you sell it. But one of the best ways, one thing that happens no matter the season, you can't always find a politician that needs an election campaign video. But what you can find every single day of the week, 24/7, 365, somebody is planning a wedding. Bum, bum, ba-bum, bum, bum, ba-bum. And I'm not going to do that again on the show. But, yes, weddings. Weddings are a great way to supplement your income. And guess what? If you do the wedding video, you get paid, and then you can afford to go make your movie. Okay? So how does this work? Well, you've got all the equipment you need. If you're a filmmaker and you have a camera, some means of editing via computer, and some means of recording some audio, you have all the equipment that you need to shoot a wedding video. And there are a few things that can help, and we'll talk about that as we go along here. But the primary things that you need are simply camera, editing unit, audio unit. Okay? This is how I started off in this industry. Let's rewind the clock. Okay? I maybe add a sound effect. Maybe I'll just leave my own sound effect in there. About 8 years ago, eight and a half now, I got married, and I had a wedding video shot. And I did not pay for the wedding. My mother-in-law, God bless her, she forked up the money for my wedding, and I love her dearly for all time, but I was shocked to find out, because at that time I really wasn't into filmmaking. This is 2004 that we're talking about. I didn't get into the filmmaking world until about 2006, and this was one of the reasons that I got into it, because I found out how much money was involved. In 2004, my mother-in-law forked out, I think it was somewhere in the range of $2,200 to $2,600 for my wedding video to be produced. And I was shocked by that. I was blown away. And by the way, 2004, they were shooting these on Canon GL2 prosumer camcorders. That is the lowest end of the low on what is considered a prosumer camcorder. So we're not talking at that time. They weren't rolling around with 35mm Panasonic or Panavision camcorders, you know, or cameras. We're not doing high production quality here. We're using small, low-end cameras to capture people's weddings. And a lot of folks are actually foregoing having traditional wedding pictures done in favor of having a wedding video shot. Very interesting. Okay, so I found out about this, and they got 6 weeks to do this video. Okay, they showed up at the wedding and the rehearsal, or not the rehearsal, I'm sorry, the wedding and the reception. They shot a little bit of time. They weren't there 6 hours. And they were paid $2,600. And they were paid ahead of time. Then they got 6 weeks to edit and package my wedding video and give it back to us. And it was great. And I'm glad we got that, because we had issues with our pictures. And we have the wedding video now because of that. So when I got into filmmaking, and I'll tell you, if you haven't heard it before, I'll tell you the story of how I got into filmmaking. I was a theater producer. I was a theater producer, a theater actor. That's what I loved. That's what I was going to do with my life. And I got this wild hair up my butt to write a script, my first feature film script, which was called Hunting Ground. And it took a long time, and I decided I wanted to make this movie. So I started trying to find some money, and I managed to get about $2,000 saved up, and we were going to make this really, really small independent film. And the guy that was going to be my director of photography showed up to shoot the auditions, and he'd just gotten this great big new camera. He was so proud of this new camera. Turned out to be this little Hi8, or it might have been a DV camcorder. I mean, something that at this point I wouldn't shoot footage of my dogs on. Okay, it was really, really bad quality. And I, at that time, decided, okay, I'm going to get my own camera, and that's where I diverted those funds to, was to buying a camera. And unfortunately, Hunting Ground never has yet to be made. It's still somewhere on one of my computer systems. I still have a copy of Hunting Ground, and someday it will be made, but not at this juncture. So I got this camera, and my first camera was a Canon XL1, and I called it my R2-D2 camera. It's actually sitting right here next to me as I'm recording this podcast. I'm not able to use it. Unfortunately, it died during a film shoot, and I didn't have the heart to sell it, but I called it my R2-D2 camera because it has lots of little doors and buttons and wizards that I had no idea how to use. So I had to set about starting to learn how to use this awesome new camera that I had. And I also had to set about learning how to edit, because when I lost my DP, when I said, you know, this is not going to work for me, I ended up losing my editor as well. So luckily my computer had, actually it wasn't even my computer at that point, it was my wife's computer. She had a Mac. I was still firmly a PC guy at that point, and she converted me over to Mac with the power of filmmaking. The power of filmmaking conquers all. I started learning how to edit, and I started on iMovie. And if you have, you know, a decent, actually at this point, if you have an iPhone and iMovie, an iMovie on the iPhone, you can make a movie. Like, I've seen some really high quality stuff made, shot with the iPhone 4 and edited with the iMovie app for iPhone. It's amazing what you can actually do with the technology. But I set about doing weddings, and my first wedding I did for free. I did a wedding, and I made no money, but I was able to shoot the wedding, edit the wedding, made it look good, learned a lot, started showing that footage around, and I started getting wedding video jobs. And now, mind you, I never got to the range of the $2,600 wedding video, but I was able to supplement my income enough to upgrade the cameras. We ended up upgrading to a Canon XL2, much higher quality camera. I managed to start getting the other gear that I needed, from sound to lighting to camera support. All the stuff that I needed, I got based on starting doing wedding videos and then commercials and then music videos and all the other things that I do to supplement my own income, because I still work a regular job just like everybody else. You're listening to a working film producer. I have a job that I go to every single day, and on the weekends and in any other spare time that I have, I devote to my passion until my passion starts paying the bills, because you have to be able to pay your bills, bottom line. So what do you need? What's the plan going to be for shooting a wedding video? Because just like film, You've got to have a plan. Now, I firmly believe that if you can shoot a wedding, you can shoot a film. Because guess what? In weddings, the only major difference is 9 times out of 10, there's no take two. Okay, you have to catch everything live in real time. So I think wedding videos are actually more stressful and harder to shoot in the moment than films are, because at least with films you can stop, you can say, hey, let's try this again, or let's think about this a different way. There's you have options. With wedding videos, you don't have options. You have to just get in there and get it done. Okay, so things that you have to have. You have to have a camera. I'm bashing the table around here. You've got to have a camera. You've got to have a means to edit your footage, meaning a computer, an iPad, an iPhone, whatever works best for you. I would recommend a computer or a friend's computer, something that can run one of the NLE softwares, whether it's iMovie, Final Cut, Adobe, whatever you work with, that's what whatever you work with best. How about that? We'll put it that way. Whatever you work with best, that's what you need to be doing your edit on. And you really need to have some means of capturing sound. Now, with the mini DV camcorders that I worked with, the XL1 and the XL2, you can pipe the audio directly into the camera and record it all as one unit. You can use the camera as an audio controller unit. With the DSLR cameras, like the 5D Mark II and whatnot, you can still do that. You can get the Rode video mic and do the Magic Lantern hack, blah, 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 blah. It's maybe easier to go ahead and get something like the H4N Zune or a Tascam or some kind of a separate audio unit that you can run all of your different microphones off of. You should get some kind of a lapel mic and some kind of a really good condenser mic. I'm not an audio guy, so if you want audio, if you have questions about audio, email me separately, filmaspire@live.com, and I will either answer those questions for you on the email, or I can recommend you to someone who can answer those questions. Okay, so you need some kind of audio unit. When I started out, I went to Radio Shack. I bought a $30 lapel mic. It sounded horrible. So I don't know that I would go that route, but you can get lapel mics for around $100 that are either wired directly to a unit or that are wireless. The wireless ones are really great. That's what I use. I have a really nice wireless lavalier microphone that records all my stuff when I'm doing a wedding. You want to put the microphone on the groom because they usually have blacks somewhere, and if they're less noticeable, you can hide them because you can't really put a black microphone on a bride's wedding dress, and generally don't touch the bride. That's a good rule for weddings. Under no circumstances on the day of the wedding should you touch the bride in any way. Don't mess up the dress, especially pre-wedding. After the wedding, they're a little better because they're hugging everybody anyway, but pre-wedding, don't touch the bride and never touch the hair. Okay, just giving you that word of advice. Okay, so that's the equipment that you need. Now you've got to have a price. Okay, if it's your first time out of the gate and you just want to give it a try and see how it turns out, do your first one for free, or for as little as you can feel comfortable with. Okay, I did my first paying wedding job, I think I did it for $500, and then I slowly worked up to around $750 to $1,000. Okay, little hint, wedding videos are also a great way out of if you're short on cash. They make good wedding gifts if you're going to be there anyway. Gives you something to do other than just sitting in the church. Okay, moving on. You have to have a price. And make sure that it's a price that's not only going to factor in your time spent shooting, but your time spent editing. Because, yeah, you may show up and only shoot for an hour or two at the wedding and then shoot for an hour at the reception. Because trust me, the time, we'll talk about time spent in a minute. You've got to factor in the time it's going to take you to edit. And if you're doing multiple cameras and all these other things, which I do highly recommend you shoot two cameras at the wedding reception, just in case somebody walks by the camera, bumps it, the tape, your card runs out, your tape runs out, something goes wrong with one camera, you have a backup. Shooting a two-camera setup is the absolute smartest thing you can do at a wedding. So if you only have one camera, call your friends. Say, hey, can I use your camera, or can you come down and shoot this wedding video with me? Pay them $50. If you're look at it this way. If you're making $750 and it only costs you $50 to have the second camera, that is money well spent. You're still making $700. You're still getting a nice profit, because odds are the equipment's laying around your house anyway, collecting dust, so you may as well make that equipment make you money. Okay, so have a price that will give you a good feeling when you're done and you hand that project in, that you didn't do more work than your time was worth. Okay, now let's talk about time. You need to have a set amount of time that you are going to be there filming. Now, I actually like to go to the wedding rehearsal because I don't like to see a video. I don't like to have to figure out what it's going to be on the day. I like to do a little recon. So usually I'll show up at the wedding rehearsal if I can, and sometimes I'll shoot, sometimes I don't. When I first started, I like to shoot the wedding rehearsal and do a little fun video with everybody having a good time at the rehearsal. That ended up cutting into my profit a little bit too much, so I stopped doing that. But I still like to go. If I'm going to shoot a wedding, I like to go to the rehearsal so I know what the procedures are going to be, so I don't have to run around and ask the groom or ask the wedding planner on the day of the wedding, because believe me, they are going to be whacked out of their minds. That it's one of the most stressful days of your life, even though everybody says, oh, it's the most wonderful day of my life. No, it isn't. It was a horrible, stressful day, and you've just blocked out the bad parts in favor of the good, which is what you should do. Okay, so go to the rehearsal, see what's up. Okay, then you can go home and plan what you're going to need. If it's a very dark church, you odds are you're not going to be thought of well if you go in there with a 1K light and try and light a wedding. So you need to make sure that your camera, that you know your camera well enough that you can get some low light settings, because odds are the church is going to be very dark. The photographer will be popping off pictures, but that's kind of accepted. Everybody knows that the photographer is going to be using flash photography. But if you roll in there with a 1K light rolling around people's eyes, they're not going to be real happy with you. So try and know your camera well enough to get some low light settings. Okay, you shoot the wedding, shoot it from, you know, as many angles as you are able to. I always like to try and get two. I like to get one from the groom's side and the groom's perspective, one from the bride's side. You're going to shoot the processional. Everybody's going to walk down the aisleway. You want to have both cameras on there, so you probably are going to have a second operator to help you out. Again, $50 is not that much money, and it's well worth your time. Get all that stuff shot, get through the wedding, try to do as few camera moves as possible once everybody settles down. They're going to move over to the Unity candle, you're going to have to do some tracking shots, but keep it as stationary as you can. Try not to touch the camera, because they like to just focus on the moment. They don't care about your artistry as a filmmaker, they care about hearing their vows and being able to relive that moment once a year when they get the wedding video out, or once every 2 years, or when they get it out for the bad times. That's when they want to see what happened on that day, and they don't care about your artistry. Okay, wedding reception starts, you know, the wedding ends, they do all the pictures, you might get a few little bits and bobbles. I also suggest that you go outside the church and get some establishing shots of the church, maybe a pan or a tilt down the steeple or across the doors, or just something to kind of give you an intro into the wedding. I like to get any kind of fountains or anything like that. They make good DVD menus. Okay, then you're going to move to the reception. The reception is where you're going to run and run and run and run. Try and get with the wedding planner and find out what the order of events are. If you're new to weddings, get friendly with the photographer and talk to the photographer as much as you can. And then when he starts running, you run right alongside him and do your best not to get in each other's way. I always try to seek out the photographer ahead of time just to find out how they like to shoot. If you have a camera that has a good telephoto or a zoom, try and stay a little further back from the action, because they sometimes have to get closer depending on what kind of lenses they're using for still photography. And still photography, filmmakers, I love us. We do great work. We work really hard for what we do. The still guys have it a lot harder than we do. And I'm just gonna go ahead and put that out there. They have to capture those moments, because the pictures are still the accepted way to remember a wedding. Okay? So try and stay back a little bit and just work with them. Say, you know, if you want to get some really pretty shots, I like to get up close shots and really see the bride and groom moving around the dance floor. So I'll talk to the photographer. I'll say, I like to get in, I like to do this and do different low angles and things. And generally, seven times out of ten, really, the photographers are going to work with you, because they like to see what other artists are doing with the cameras. And they're going to come over and ask you a bunch of photography questions about your camera, especially if you're shooting on a DSLR. They're going to want to know all about that and how that works. And be prepared to talk to them and just enjoy yourself and have a fun time. Don't drink the free alcohol. That would be another tip I would have for you. Make sure you stay away from that. You want to be sober. Dress appropriately. Don't show up in a Pantera t-shirt and, you know, ripped up jeans. Get yourself a nice button-down shirt and a pair of khakis and look professional. That's what they want. Okay, you don't have to show up in a tux. I know some people that used to do that. I actually did that on a couple of weddings. It's a pain in the butt. Don't do it. Just look professional. Okay, you want to make sure that you get a few things at the reception. You've got to get the dances, the first dance, the mother-daughter dance, or the mother-son dance, the father-daughter dance. You've got to get the cake, you've got to get the bouquet, you've got to get the garter, you've got to get the chicken dance. Once all the main things go and you're through all those, you're probably pretty well done. Trust me when I tell you, there's only so much 11th hour footage of people dancing badly to classic songs from the 80s that you can film and actually use. You'll end up deleting a lot of footage. So have a set time. Say, you know, I'm going to give you 2 hours for the wedding and 2 hours for the reception. And that's good. That gives everybody a good idea of how much they're getting for whatever cost you set. So if you're saying I'm going to do, you know, 4 hours and it's going to be $100 an hour, and then the $350 is for the editing and the post-production and all that stuff, people are going to be pretty good with that. Okay, so just as long as you can justify what you're charging them, they're going to be good with it. Okay, and then the last thing you really have to think about is if you want to do some kind of a I love you section, that's something they did on my wedding video, and I did it most of the time that I did weddings, you just go and invite people to talk about the couple or give them a word of friendly advice, you know, take the garbage out, you know, do whatever she says, that kind of thing. Give people at the wedding a chance to say I love you, say good luck, say congratulations. I always try and go to each table at the reception and kind of walk past the table just a little bit so that they get a good idea of who is at their reception. They can say, oh, there's Cousin Bob, there's Aunt Larry, whatever. They get to do and see all of those things. Okay? And this is a great way to supplement your filmmaking income, because if you get $700, $750, $1,000, $1,500, $2,500 for 2 days worth of work, then the next weekend you're back out making your film. And, you know, maybe you get to the point that you don't have to do weddings again. I know a guy that after he did his first feature, he said, I will never do another wedding. I've never said that because, you know what, weddings are a valuable commodity, and there are people that devote all of their filmmaking skill. They go to film school and end up using all of their talent just to do wedding videos. And you know what? Odds are they've got a really nice house with either an in-home studio to work, or they have a really nice house and a really nice office to work out of. And the weddings pay their bills. And they are generally fairly wealthy, well-off people because they found a niche. And that's what you have to do. Maybe you find that making independent feature films is not what you want to do. Maybe you'll find that this is an area that you excel in and you love it and you want to do that, and that's what you want to do as a filmmaker. That's great. Some people find that. Some people find that they like to do commercials and PSAs and industrials. That's wonderful. It's a great way to earn a living because you're still doing what you love. You're still working with cameras. You're still working on sets. You're still directing people. You maybe aren't making a creature feature or a big drama or something like that. Maybe you don't even like to do that. Maybe you like to do documentaries. There are a million and one ways to make money in this industry, and I highly suggest that you explore all of them. So that's your filmmaker's toolbox for today. Wedding videos, it's a great way to earn a little extra money, supplement the income for your film or your own personal income. So that would be my suggestions. If you have any show topic suggestions, questions, or comments about the Film Aspire podcast, please do direct them to filmaspire@live.com, and we will try and get a show done or up about your question, comment, or topic. Want to go ahead and take a moment and give a shout out to our show sponsor, the Acting for Your Life podcast at actingforyourlife.podomatic.com. If you don't currently subscribe to Miss Catherine Ray Furrow's podcast, All About the Business of Acting, I suggest you remedy that by going to actingforyourlife.podomatic.com and clicking the subscribe button and hear all about what she has to say. She's a barrel of information. So thank you for joining us, and remember, get out there and tell your story.